Are you stuck in the past? Have you lost hope for the future? Do not despair. Build houses of joy, plant gardens of faith. Offer thanks and praise to the living God. All will be well. I invite you now to stand and join in the call to worship. Sing God's praises. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. We have walked through fire and water with heavy burdens on our backs. But God has led us into a spacious place to plant gardens of faith. Rejoice in the Lord. Build houses of joy. And shout glory to God. Let us worship in gratitude and praise. Would you join in our opening prayer? Master Gardener, you revive us when our bodies grow weak and when our spirits faint within us. Though we may be bound by our worries, your word is not chained. Help us build houses of joy and plant gardens of faith. As we pray for the welfare of our communities, help us bloom where we are planted, that your harvest of hope and love may be bountiful. In gratitude for your blessings, we pray. Amen. You may remain standing for our opening hymn, God of Grace and God of Glory. You'll find the words on the screen, or you can find them in the hymnal number 577. Thank you.
Friends, you may be seated. Would you pray with me? Good and gracious God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks that you're a God who listens to us, who walks with us. Lord, help us to hear your voice. Help us to see your truth. Help us to know that you are love and you are grace and that you are with us always, now and forevermore. Lord, we pray for those things that are heavy on our hearts, those things that we don't have the strength to lift and speak. God, attend to each of our needs, each of our sorrows, and each of our joys. Lord, help us know that you are an active God in this world. And help us see the ways that you have called us to be. Help us find the paths that you've called us to walk down. And Almighty God, help us be a people who can make a difference in our community. God, fill our hearts with love and grace. May your Spirit be upon us. And may we bless this world as much as you have blessed us. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. And so with the confidence of those who have been redeemed by God, we invite you now to pray with us the prayer that Christ has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen. Hey, kids, do you want to come up now? Come on up, kids.
Good morning, everyone. I am not Addison. Oh, you know. Okay, I just wanted to double check. She couldn't be here today, so she asked me to do this. My name's Mike. Some of you know me, some of you don't. Anyway, I'm glad to be here with you guys. I have a question for you. What's one of the most important things that Jesus told us to do? Who knows? Who can list something? Yes. Follow him. Good one. Anybody else have any? Yes. What's that? Love others. I'm glad you said that, because that's what I want to talk about. Jesus said to love everyone. That's kind of hard to do, isn't it? It is for me. It's hard to love everyone. That's a really tough thing to do. So I thought to myself, maybe we could like everyone. Who here likes everyone? Raise your hand. That's pretty good, because I have a problem with that sometimes, too. I don't always like everyone, and I should. So I thought, what could I do that could make Jesus smile? Well, if I can't love everyone, what do you think I could do?
You could be nice to Jesus.
Be nice to Jesus, and be nice to who else? Everyone. You know what? The best people to be nice to are the people that are mean to you. Because if you're nice to the people that are mean, eventually they'll be nice to you. And if you're nice to someone long enough, you might just start to like them. And then if you like them, maybe you can love them. It's really tough. And you can be their friend. Some ways to be nice to people, let's say you're in school and you're on the playground and you see someone all by themselves. No one to play with because maybe no one likes them. And you don't know them, so you don't know if you like them or not. Be including others. So you could say, hey, you want to come on the swings with me, or do you want to come shoot baskets? again, if somebody's being really mean to you all the time, just try to be nice to them. Invite them anyway. They still might be mean to you, but keep trying to be nice. Again, it's kind of hard to do, but it's something we really need to work at. And as I said before, I think when we do things like that, I think it really makes Jesus smile and makes him happy that we're trying, because that's the most important thing. Now, we'll have a prayer, and then after the prayer, just stick around for a second, because Mrs. Mateer is going to help us do something. And I'll tell you now what we're going to do. You're each going to get some candy. Now, to be nice, you can give it all away. You're going to get maybe two or three pieces. You can give it all away. You can keep one for yourself and give one away. You just can't keep it all for yourself, okay? Just to show you're nice. All right? All right, let's have a prayer. Dear God, help us be nice to everyone, even to people that are mean to us. Because maybe someday we'll start to like everyone. Amen. Now, if you want to get some candy for Miss Mateer, and you can head back and you can give some to whoever you'd like, all right? Thanks for coming up, guys.
Today's New Testament lesson comes from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 15. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is sure, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Remind them of this and warn them before the Lord that they are to avoid wrangling over words, which does no good, but only ruins those who are listening. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth. May God grant us understanding of his holy word.
At this time, we have our chancel choir coming up to bless us with the song, Come Just As You Are. Friends, at this time we have our moment of offering. The ushers will come forward and pass the plates around. As a reminder, this is one way that we give back to not only our church and our congregation, but also our community. Everything that's given, your prayers, your resources, your time, all of that helps support the ministries that we do in this community. And if you looked in your announcements, there's quite a bit that this church does. So thank you for all of the ways that you continue to support us and partner with us. And if you feel moved to do so, we would always appreciate any other support that you can give. So thank you, friends. At this time, I invite the ushers to come forward. Gracious Lord, we thank you for what you have given us. We thank you that we have been blessed with enough to return it to you so that your people, so that this world, so that all of creation might be blessed. God, help us be generous. Help us be faithful. Help us put our trust in you that all will be well. Lord, thank you for this opportunity once again to be your people. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Friends, I invite you to continue to stay standing and join us in our next hymn. I know sometimes I tell you to sit down, but I can be taught. Friends, join us in our next hymn, In the Faith We Sing, the small black hymnal on 2225 or up on the screens. Thank you. Friends, our gospel reading today comes from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. This is the gospel, according to Luke. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men with a skin disease approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." As they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? So where are the other 9? Did none of them return to give glory to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. It's an interesting little story, isn't it? And maybe not always in the ways that we think. When I was younger, I heard this one preached, and it was always, "And remember to give thanks to God." Amen? Amen. But there was something that stuck out to me this time. At the end, Jesus says, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." It reminds me of those other times where Jesus looks at someone who is asking for healing, and then all of a sudden says, "Your sins are what? Forgiven." "Okay, thanks, Jesus, but my leg doesn't work. Or my skin has a rash that just can't be cured. Or I'm so bound up by my emotions inside that I can hardly function in society. Thanks, Jesus, for forgiving my sins, but what? I still need healing." So it's interesting here on this one, Jesus flips the script a little bit, which sometimes he does more often than not. Turns life upside down on its head and makes us really wrestle with what might be happening in reality. There's 10 people with a skin disease. They come to Jesus and they say, "Jesus, we need healing." And of course, Jesus, being the good Jewish man that his mother raised him to be, says, "Okay, go to the priest." Because that's what you do, right? You go to the priest and the priest looks you over and says, "Okay, you're either good or you're not. This is what you need to do, or you need to do more." Jesus says, "Go to the priest and check in with them." No healing's happened at this point, yet it's on the way that they begin to be healed. And then what happens? One person turns around and gives thanks to God for what was happening, has happened, and probably will continue to happen. It makes me keep replaying that phrase in my head, "Your sins have been forgiven." I wonder if the point of this story is not so much about the skin disease as much as it is the hearts of the people who were being healed. See, that's a funny thing to end on, isn't it? You get other stories where the woman comes and grabs the hem of Jesus' cloak and is healed, and then her sins are forgiven. And you get other stories where Jesus spits into the mud and the dirt and rubs it on people's eyes. And then the Pharisees come up and they say,
all manner of things to just, I don't know, get under Christ's skin, really, really frustrate him and say, you know, that's not technically by the rules. And then sometimes, oftentimes, Jesus goes on to say, is it more difficult? Is it more difficult to heal someone or to forgive their sins? But just so you know that both things are possible with God. It makes me wonder, this passage today makes me wonder about what God has actually called us to. How many of you have ever gone hungry before? You were all kids once, right? I heard it just on the drive back from my grandpa's 90th birthday party yesterday. The kids screaming, I'm hungry. I haven't eaten in years. I'm about to die. No one's had that experience before? Truly, you are blessed. How many of you have ever had an injury that just lingers? I was biking in Germany with one of my very best friends. I think I've told this story before, but I like it, so I'm going to tell it again. I was biking in Germany with one of my very best friends. We were in Stuttgart. We were going north. He was crazy enough. We were going to start in the Black Forest, and he was going to make it to the Atlantic Ocean. Now, if you don't know how far that is, that's a long ways, friends. And I was going to go as far as I could. I had planned on biking the whole thing. However, we were in Stuttgart, and we were going down this hill, and we were on the left side of the road, and there was a car about to merge into traffic. Don't worry, they drive like we do. They drive on the correct side of the road. So this person's looking left, and we're coming from the right. Can you guess what happened? They saw an opening, they pulled out, and I flew over the handlebars as my bike crashed into her car. I flipped, I lost consciousness, and I woke up, and my shoulder was a little sore, and my bike was completely totaled. I wasn't biking anymore that trip. Friends, would you believe that I can tell when the weather's starting to change? It's moments like that when I read a story like this and I say, Jesus, that's great, but my shoulder hurts. Jesus, that's great, but I'm having trouble paying the bills. Jesus, that's great, but there's family estrangement. Jesus, that's great, but... your sins have been forgiven. See, it speaks to something deep within us, I think. It speaks to that change of heart that Christ is trying to help us enact. And that might seem lackluster, right? It might seem like that doesn't actually meet the needs of today. And yet, I wonder, as we were up here with the kids today, what'd we tell them? Can you like someone? Because loving is hard sometimes, isn't it? Amen? Hallelujah? Thanks be to God? And yet, I'm a firm believer that most of the issues in our world, in our denomination, in our church, boils down to something that is hard to put our finger on. And it's the state of our hearts. That the greatest challenge of the church is not necessarily to eradicate hunger or to build schools or hospitals. The greatest challenge of the church is to change hearts so that those things have already been done. Because don't misunderstand me. What happened in this story? 10 lepers came up and they said, we need healing. And Jesus said, go to the priest. And on the way, what happened? They were healed. Even before their hearts were changed, they were healed. See, this is the grace that God gives us even before we understand what's happening, even before we know that we are loved. Christ is intent upon changing our hearts, about helping us have faith that makes us well. And in the meantime, what does he do? What does he do? He heals. He serves. He helps. He feeds the hungry. He sits with the sick. He gives hope to those in chains. He builds schools and hospitals. He sets up networks that can care for one another. But friends, let us not lose sight of what Christ came to do. Because all of those things, all of those good things that we do, are 10 times more difficult when our hearts are still bound. I grew up in a church and come from a tradition that holds these two things in tension. That our inner lives might be healed and made pure, and our world might be healed and made pure. Because at the end of the day, friends, like we said with the kids, it takes one step at a time. And over time, what we might find is our hearts shine with more love than we thought possible. And our world might start to look more like the kingdom of God. So friends, sit with this. I hope you're feeling a little bit of discomfort, otherwise we're not doing our job as the church, right? Sit with this. How is your heart? How is your soul? Would you have had faith to go to the priest and realize that you were healed? And is your heart healed enough to turn back and give thanks to God? Because friends, at the end of the day, that thankfulness, that is what will heal the world. Amen? Amen. Friends, would you pray with me? Almighty God, heal our hearts so that we might be kind, so that we might be loving, gentle and gracious and generous, that we might be patient, that we might have the self-control to follow your path. God, heal our hearts so that we can begin to bandage the wounds of this world, just as you have been doing since the beginning of all things. God, heal our hearts so that we might care for those who are hungry, give water to those who are thirsty, so that we might house and clothe those shivering in the cold, and that we might sit with those in despair or anxiety. God, heal our hearts so that we can better meet the challenges of our day, so that we cannot forget our community, but walk out and give hope. Lord, help us be a part of the places that we live so that there might be love and grace and hope. God, we give you thanks. Help us wrestle with this today, that we might grow and look more and more like you every minute, every hour, every year. Through Christ our Lord, we pray all of these things. And all the people said, Amen. Friends, we invite you to stand as you are able and join us in our final hymn, Be Thou My Vision, which you can find on page 451 of your blue hymnals or up on the screens. Thank you.
You may be seated. I would like to introduce and welcome Reverend Michelle Lundula up, our district superintendent, because he has offered very graciously to greet us from our bishop and our episcopacy and also give the blessing as we leave today. So, as Michelle's walking up, can we go ahead and welcome him to our sanctuary today?
Good morning. It is a joy to be here with you, and I greet you all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I bring you special greetings from our bishop, Bishop Laurie and Bishop Deb, who want me to remind you that you are in our prayers. We are praying for you. We also want you to pray for us. A few weeks ago, I was here for the professional interview, and I made a promise to Pastor Luke that I will come to worship with you. I know we have church conferences this afternoon, but this has been a great moment for me to worship with you, and thank you so much for your continued support to the body of Christ, and thank you so much, Pastor Luke, for your leadership. We pray that the Lord may continue to bless us. One thing I would like to remind the church is, as you know, the church is going through a very difficult time. But as my brothers and sisters in Christ, remember, Christ is our Lord and Christ is our Savior. Can somebody say amen to that? Yes, let the Christ Jesus be the Lord in this place. In everything that we do, let the name of our God continue to be glorified. Once again, thank you so much for having me this morning, and thank you all for being here. Would you please stand as you are able to receive the benediction? Lord God, we give you thanks for the blessing of this day, the opportunity to be in your presence. Lord, we have come before you with our faith, knowing that you have the answer to our concerns, to our challenges, and you have a blessing for each one of us. As we now leave this place, Lord, send us with your blessing that we may go into the world and continue to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Now, may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the unconditional love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit continue to abide upon each one of us today and forever and ever. Amen. Thank you so much, and may God bless you.
As a reminder, there is charge conference this afternoon at 2 o'clock. If the Ad Council could be there for that, that'd be great. If you'd like to come and fellowship with our circuit, kind of the churches in our region, that starts at 1, and everyone is welcome. But thank you, Reverend Lundula, for the blessing. And now, go and enjoy your Sabbath and rest. Our service has ended.